You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Caring Connections. My name is Nicole Bruno and I am your host, and joining me today is Vicki Parks. She is a family caregiver and senior move manager and actually owner of Aspire Transitions, and we are talking about her personal experience of what she has learned from being a caregiver. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you are a caregiver currently.
That's right.
For your mom.
Yes, she moved here from California about almost 2 years ago.
Okay. And you're still smiling?
I am.
Your hair hasn't fallen out of your head?
Most of it's still there.
Oh, I see a few patches. Okay. She's human, everybody. She's not an alien. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear your personal perspective of what it's like to be a caregiver, because I know a lot of people listening today either have been in that role, are currently in that role, or they are going to be in that role. This is one thing that's not going to escape you folks listening. You are going to be a caregiver at some point. So I think it's good to hear some insight of what it's like for folks that are actually in the trenches at that time. So thank you for being willing to open this up for us and for everyone listening. I know it's sort of taking a personal risk when you do those things, and we do appreciate that you are sharing that with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
So how did you end up as a caregiver for your mother? You're saying she moved from California. What sort of precipitated that experience?
Yes. Well, to begin with, my whole family was in California. I moved here very young, right after I got married. Mm-hmm. And for years, I wanted them here with me and couldn't talk them into it. Suddenly, my brother-in-law was offered a position in Chapel Hill.
Oh.
And so out came the whole family.
Oh.
So that was
the sun,
you know,
brought them.
Yes. So it was very nice to have them all here. And my sister, having taken on the caregiver role for so long out in California, being with mom, you know, I felt immediately like I needed to pick up the torch and, mm-hmm. you know, take over and give her a break.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother is only 75, but
okay.
She's diabetic.
Okay.
And she's lost her sight to diabetic retinopathy.
Oh.
So
is that recent?
It's been an ongoing progress, mm-hmm. you know, process. She lost the sight in one eye about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the, quote, good eye,
mm-hmm.
Is progressively worse all the time, to where mm-hmm. she can barely see anything now. And it's actually going in for surgery next month.
Oh, they think they might be able to.
They're going
to
do a cornea transplant.
Oh.
And hopefully that will give her some of her sight back.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. So you say your sister's been a caregiver for a long time. What do you define a caregiver as?
Well, I think making sure mom has everything she needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can't drive, so any doctor's appointments that she needs to go to, any places she needs to get, shopping needs to be done, you know, medication and drugs, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, making sure she has everything that she needs. She's still living on her own.
Mm-hmm.
She moved in with me when she first got here, but was very, very adamant on having her own place. So just being able to find the resources. One of the first things I did when I knew she was coming here was to hire a geriatric care manager.
Okay.
And, you know, that was just a godsend.
And for those listening, what does that geriatric care manager do?
Well, what she did for us was help us through the whole process with change of address, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
She helped us look for low-income housing,
mm-hmm.
and all those types of things that I just knew I didn't know where to begin to do all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was.
So she put all that pieces of the puzzle together for you.
Yes.
So I like your definition of a caregiver, because a lot of people do those things and don't think of themselves as a caregiver. They think caregiving is only when I'm doing incontinence care or assisting in a bath or that personal care piece. So you've actually given that a very true light, because to me, those are true caregiving roles. So
absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the biggest challenges you've faced being a caregiver so far?
I think letting mom be on her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about someone who can hardly see, yep, trying to cook meals every day or, you know, just do ordinary things, it was quite challenging just to let her have that independence, mm-hmm, and not want to just keep her safe and protected in my home.
Mm-hmm.
My husband felt the same way. He was, you know, very adamant about, you know, we've got to do something. She can't be by herself.
Yeah, yeah. So I recently went through that with a dear friend that was living with me for about a year. And, you know, when she came to me, she was practically on death's door. She really was. And people weren't sure, you know, how much longer she was going to live. And, you know, she perked up. And, you know, after about a year, she was well enough to be on her own. And I was scared to death to let her out the door.
Yes.
I thought, well, she surely can't do this. She surely is not. I mean, once she has to do all these things for herself, and granted, there are definitely things that probably aren't going as well as they could have been going from my perspective for her, but she has her freedom and her independence, and she is much happier being sort of,
yes,
a free bird out of a cage. And but it really is hard to give up that, mm-hmm, I guess, it's control in a way, and it is. Allow them to fly and be free and let,
mm-hmm,
them fail, just like we all do in our own lives. You almost, that mothering instinct really kicks in hard, and you just want to protect them like you protect your children, but they're still adults, and
yeah,
have,
so
as long
true.
As they're not, you know, as long as they don't have severe dementia or something, they have the right to make a bad decision. So it's just hard to stand by, and after you work so hard to build them up, to, you know, to watch the pieces start crumbling down again, it's a hard thing to do.
Right.
There's a
right.
lot of your emotional energy has been in there, and physical energy as well. Mm-hmm. So,
and I know that one of the secondary challenges, I think, that I face, and I'm sure anyone who's a caregiver, especially a family caregiver, faces, is finding time to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You have your own job, your own family, mm-hmm, and, you know, now you have this other family or this other person, mm-hmm, that, you know, requires so much attention and
definitely.
Time.
Yeah, years ago, I was a caregiver for my grandfather in my home as well. And that was a crazy time of my life because I had a 2-year-old, a 2-week-old, a puppy, and a husband. I'm not sure which one demanded more time, but they all had a lot of time they demanded, and that definitely was, I remember, and still to this day, the other things take its place, surely, but I remember 11:30 at night finally just being able to sit down for 5 minutes, and I was so tired, I just had to go to bed. It is hard to fit all that in, that's
it
for
is.
Sure. So how about, you know, I think some of the hard things that people have when they're family caregivers is sort of that baggage that you had. You were the daughter, and so sort of that role reversal in some ways, and how do you kind of have those communications that sometimes can be difficult when they tell you no, but you know the best answer really should be yes for a certain thing. How do you handle that?
Mm-hmm. When, for instance, the cornea surgery that mom has coming up,
mm-hmm,
she immediately said no.
Mm.
No, this isn't going to happen. I'm not going through another surgery. Every time I have a surgery, it gets worse. So I'm not doing this.
So you got but we have to figure out how to get the yes.
Yeah, you keep doing the research and you keep giving her more information, and eventually she comes around and makes the decision her own, and
that's
no
what's worked for you.
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more how to turn those no's into yeses when after our break. We're going to be right back. Joining me today again is Vicki Parks, and we're learning about what she has learned as being a caregiver currently for her mom. We'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and joining me today is Vicki Parks. She is a family caregiver and owner of Aspire Transitions, which is a senior move management company, and we are talking about what she has learned from being a personal family caregiver. Welcome back, Vicki.
Thank you.
So we were just talking about the no and not always meaning no, or perhaps meaning no at the time, but eventually you can persuade that to be a yes answer. She was talking about her mom who needs to have this cornea surgery to help her vision, and her mom kept saying no, 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 no. And eventually, after Vicki gave her more and more information, she finally agreed to say yes. And yeah, I know you had another story you wanted to share.
Yes, actually, this was with a customer of mine. He was a 92-year-old gentleman that was a stockbroker and worked in as a financial advisor for many years. Mm-hmm. So he had lots and lots of files and paperwork. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he told me when I came in to help him downsize and get moved was, I can't get rid of any of my paperwork. It's all important. I have to keep it all.
Oh.
So rather than try to push him and say, yes, you do have to get rid of this paperwork, I approached it in a way to say, okay, well, we have to reorganize all of your paperwork because you're going to have some long-term files and some short-term mm-hmm. files. So you don't want your long-term files in your office and all your short-term files in storage. Mm-hmm. So we have to go through all this paperwork and figure out what goes where.
Sure.
Well, as soon as he started going through the paperwork, he realized, oh, I don't need this anymore. I don't need that anymore.
Sure.
And he started throwing things away.
So allowing that control.
Allowing him to have the control of that and just, you know, guiding in the right direction.
Definitely. I definitely see that. And I think that really works even no matter who you're working with in your life. If you mm-hmm. If you dig your heels in, the person on the other side is going to dig their heels in even further.
Absolutely.
So, great point. So why do you think it's so important to let older adults keep their independence?
I think it has a lot to do with them feeling worthwhile
mm-hmm.
and giving their life meaning.
Mm-hmm.
If you let them keep their independence and you're not doing everything for them, it gives them a better sense of who they are and what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of have to learn to slow down
mm-hmm.
And take things at a different pace
sure.
in order to let them do things on their own. It's really easy as a caregiver to just want to get something done very quickly and
just
do something for them.
That's right.
Yep. Just
get it
over
done.
With.
Yeah.
But you know, they really need that sense of worth and self, and
mm-hmm.
you know, letting them stay independent, I think, really helps to give them that.
You know, and I think if there's a task that they're having difficulty with, to modify to meet their ability so they can still have success. Because how frustrating is it when there's something that you used to be able to do and you can't do it anymore? I mean, there's lots of things as you age that you can't do the way you used to do. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all have to make those adjustments. So I think when we're older, we're constantly losing things. We're losing friends. We're losing loved ones. We're losing, you know, sight. We're losing ability to walk. And so you're constantly faced with all these losses. So to be able to modify things for folks, I think, is truly important. And it really helps self-esteem and purpose.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So how can you respect someone's wishes when you know it's not in their best interest? Do share. I struggle with that one all the time with my one friend.
Yes. Yes. Well, when I'm talking about respecting someone's wishes, it doesn't necessarily mean letting them have their own way,
mm-hmm.
but letting them know that you hear them and you understand what it is they want and what they need,
mm-hmm.
but that it may not be possible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, driving,
mm-hmm.
you know, you know that your folks don't want to give up their driver's license or give up their car.
Sure.
But you know they're getting to the age where they just can't be safe on the road anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so you respect their wishes in letting them know, I understand you want to keep this,
mm-hmm.
But we're going to have to, you know, find another way
mm-hmm.
to get transportation for you because, you know, being on the road isn't safe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think respecting their wishes isn't necessarily giving in to what they want, but just talking with them and helping them understand what the consequences of their actions could be.
Sure. Or just sometimes you have to agree to disagree on certain issues.
Absolutely.
And going back to sometimes you have to let people fail. I mean, I'll just say my own child, was trying, really fighting me with doing his homework, and decided that he knew all the answers to his math test and said, I've got it, Mom. I'm going to get 100%. Well, the next day I got an email from the teacher saying he had failed his math test. Mm-hmm. So, and I made that decision because I knew he didn't have it, but I said, you know what? He needs to experience what that is like to fail. And we learn those lessons throughout all of our lives. I think sometimes we all are overly confident in some areas where we shouldn't be, or, you know, or not confident enough in areas, and we need to be propped up a little bit. We don't really realize what some of our talents are. So I think that's true no matter what life stage we're in, for sure. I mean, it sounds like you're a wonderful person. And we need to take a quick break. I am here today with Vicki Parks, and we're talking about what she has learned as a caregiver. We will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Vicki Parks, and we're talking about what she has learned as a caregiver. And she is the owner of Aspire Transitions, which is a senior move management company. Welcome back, Vicki.
Thank you very much. It's been great to be here.
I appreciate all of the personal information that you've been sharing about your role as a caregiver. And I know that you've brought with you some wonderful resources that you feel that have been helpful to you since you've been in this caregiving role. And I also wanted to hear a little bit more about Aspire Transitions. But let's start with the resources. PACE, you've kind of already talked about them, the program of all-inclusive care for the elderly. If you need to reach PACE, and if you're interested to learn more about that program, they do have a 800 number, which is 877-714-2100. And then there's Lots of Helping Hands. Tell me about that.
Lots of Helping Hands is a website that you can put a calendar of items that need to be taken care of for your loved one, doctor's appointments, food needs, anything like that, and send out emails to your friends and family or anyone else who's willing to help, and they can sign up for doing whatever task might be needed. Found out about that website when a friend of mine had a brain tumor.
Okay.
And so she was having, you know, a lot of trips to the doctors, chemotherapy, mm-hmm. and, you know, needed a lot of help at home. And so her family continues to use the site.
Great.
To help her out. And I just think it's a wonderful resource.
So you can go ahead and Google Lots of Helping Hands if you need some helping hands. And then the National Council on Aging?
Yes, that's sort of the overall website that gives you lots of information. Every county or town has a council on aging or a mm-hmm. department on aging, and so that's sort of a first step resource.
Okay.
You could also Google your county name with department on aging or council on aging, or sometimes even senior center, but those places will all give you lots of information on where you can get help.
Great. And tell us a little bit about Aspire Transitions.
Well, I didn't start Aspire Transitions. It just sort of happened.
Really? Tell me how that happened.
Back when the recession hit, I was laid off work, mm-hmm. and nobody was hiring in the field I had been in. And so I went back to school. And a friend of mine had parents who were moving from Raleigh to Chapel Hill mm-hmm. and downsizing and going into a continuing care retirement community. Mm-hmm. And so she asked me if I could help her folks out. Mm-hmm. You know, they just needed some help getting rid of things and fixing the house up for sale.
And a little extra money for you while you're looking for a job. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Right. So I went out and helped them, and they quickly sold their home within a week, which nobody expected at that time.
Yeah.
So we immediately started doing the packing process and finding movers mm-hmm. and just doing all the things you need to do. Before I knew it, you know, I had this business going, and it was wonderful.
Before it even had a name. Well, thank you for joining us today. And as always, you may email your caring questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring at 1360WCHL.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.